Turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, as we continue under the theme, Where Do I Fit In? Indeed, it's good to have my wife Bridget and here with me. Brother Frank says she's looking younger and younger every time. Well, you can see I've been working hard. That's why she looks so good and I look the way I do, to keep her the way she looks. But it's so good to have her here with the children. And again, we just thank you for the wonderful opportunity to be here. On Sunday morning, as our brother Frank mentioned, we began a series on the gifts and asking the question, where do I fit in? And we began in 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12 is a very wonderful chapter when it comes to looking and dealing with the spiritual gifts. In verses 1 to 3, we have the command to know the gifts. In verses 4 through 6 and verse 11, we have the source of the gifts. In verses 7 and verse 29 through verse 30, we have the extent of the gifts. In verses 10, 8 through 10 and verse 28, we have the diversity of the gifts. In verses 12 to 27, we have the analogy of the gifts. In verse 31, we have the best of the gifts. But we've been talking and sharing about the, where do I fit in? Where do you and I fit in terms of the gifts? It's very important for that we all understand where God will have us. And we want to begin reading again at verse 1 of chapter 12 of this particular passage of 1 Corinthians. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For by one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. For as the body is one, and had many members, and all the members of that one body being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Lord, add a blessing to the reading of His holy and precious word. Amen. Father, we do ask that You, by Your Spirit, will indeed energize our hearts and our minds. We acknowledge, O Lord, that it's not by might, nor by power, but is by Your Spirit. Speak to our hearts as only You can. In Jesus' name, amen. On Sunday past, we began by giving a definition of spiritual gifts. The word for spiritual gift is charisma, and is related to the word from which we get the word grace, charist, having to do with the grace of God or God's unmerited favor. And so when we come to the Word in the New Testament, we understand that we have the gift of salvation. We have the gift of God's providential care. But even more frequently, Paul talks about this whole idea of the charisma, of the gifts that we as Christians received at our conversion. And the definition that we began and we used with the fact that a spiritual gift is a God-given ability for service. A spiritual gift is a God-given ability for service. And we sort of break that down, the fact that the gift is an ability. It is an ability that has been given to every child of God to be used for the glory of God, for the building up of the body, and of course for the extension of the kingdom through the preaching and the evangelization of the world. And so it is an ability that God has given to a particular individual. Secondly, it is a God-given ability. It reminds us that Christ and the Spirit of God are the givers of the gifts. You and I cannot manufacture these gifts on our own. It is a gift from God. It is a God-given gift. And so again, we cannot boast. The Apostle Paul could say, what is it that we have that we have not received? And so, the ability that God has given to me, I acknowledge that it is His gift. It is His. And so I can't boast in anything. And you cannot boast in the gift and the talent that God has given to you. You can only give thanks. You can only praise Him. You can only do with it what God has called you to do. And so it is a God-given ability, but it is for service. It is to be used, as I said earlier, for the edification of the body. It is to be used for the proclamation of the gospel. And so our gifts are given to us for service. And so the Apostle Paul, as he wrote to the saints at Ephesus, began by saying, and as if Paul, as he ends chapter 11 and talking about the Lord's table and some things there, he says, now, as if now he turns and he leaps into this subject. Now concerning spirituals, actually the translation should be, because as you will notice in your Bible, gifts is in italics. It was not an original Greek. And so he says, now concerning spirituals. The translators, I believe, added that there to maybe give the fuller thought. But he says, now concerning spirituals, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. I do not want you to be misinformed or not informed as to its function and the need in the body. Because there in Corinth, as he gives the command to know the gifts, Paul wanted to dispel any ignorance concerning the giver of the gifts, as well as the character or the demonstration of these gifts. And Paul, knowing the background of the saints at Corinth, knowing that they were into the occult, knowing that they themselves, as a result, he said in verse 2, ye know that ye Gentiles were carried away of these dumb idols, even as ye were led. They themselves knew what it was to be involved in the occult, and also to manifest certain types of things under the power of evil spirits. And so Paul says, I want you to know, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant concerning the difference between that which is of the Holy Spirit and that which is of God. I want you to be able to discern between the voice of the Holy Spirit and the voice of evil spirit. And he says, one way that you can discern that, if anyone calls Christ a curse, you can surely know that that individual, even if they are demonstrating some type of gifts or some type of miraculous power, you can know for sure that they are not of God. They are not of Christ. But he says, but you could also know the true ones. If they are walking in the Spirit and they are manifesting certain gifts and power, if they call Jesus Christ Lord by the Holy Ghost, they're not just going to do it with their lips, but from the sincerity of their hearts. And of course, the Bible says that by your fruits, you will know them. And so Paul was concerned that these saints at Corinth, who was misinformed and who misunderstood the purpose of their gifts, and they were abusing of the gifts. And so he said, I don't want you to be ignorant, and I want you to be aware of those who might not be under the direction and the movement of the Spirit, and those who are. And so you need to understand this. And so he breaks in, and he began to talk to them, because we know that in Corinth, they were all about the sign gifts. They were all about these spectacular gifts. They were concerned about these things. And so Paul, as he writes to these saints at Corinth, he says, you need to understand that God expects you to be unified, and that your unity is not found in the possession of one common gifts or one common gift, but rather in the possession of the Holy Spirit, who is the source of the gifts. And so he says, now there are diversity of gifts in verse 4, but the same Spirit. And so he wants them to know, even though there are different gifts, it comes from the same source. The same source. And we need to be reminded of that. There is only one source of the gift. That is the Spirit of the living God. And he says, you need to understand that. And so that's why we can't boast. And as we're going to point out in a little bit, we cannot boast in the fact that my gift is greater than your gift, because it comes from the same source, from the same person. And then he goes on to say that there are differences of administration or service. We do not all have the same work, but what we have in common is that whatever we do, it is done for the same Lord and with the same view of serving others. And so he says to them, and there are differences of administration, but you know what? There is the same Lord. And so the person with the gift of evangelism, their heart's desire to proclaim the gospel, and they are doing it because they want to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the same Lord. The person who have the gift of administration, he or she works in that area because, you know what? That's what God has gifted them to, the Spirit with, and so they want to please the Lord Jesus Christ. They want to be the faithful servant on whichever sphere God has called them. And God has not given you or me. God has given you something different from me. God has given you a different task to work through a different medium in the terms of your gift. But God wants you to do it faithfully. And so there are different of administration or service in which God has called us to. Verse 6, he said, there are diversities of operations or activity as far as spiritual gifts are concerned. It is the same God who empowers each believer. And so sometimes some gifts seem to be more successful than others, more spectacular. And sometimes we can get the idea that, you know, his or her gift is more superior than mine. Again, we need to remember, God is the same God who supplies the power for you to do what he's called you to do, and the same God who supplies me the power to do what he's called me to do. And so Paul says, and there are diversities of operations or activities, but he says, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. And so the God who is working in me to do what he's called me to do is the same God that is working in you to cause you to do what he wants you to do. And so once you do what God has called you to do in your area, and I do what God calls me to do in my area, he's glorified. He'll be glorified, and we'll be encouraged in our hearts and in our spirits. And so that's what Paul is writing to these saints, and he's concerned to them. And I think we need to be concerned about. And when we come to this whole idea of the gifts, you and I need to remember, and this is what I want to emphasize as I continue tonight, three things from some of the verses that we read in your hearing. And we need to understand that, first of all, we must realize, as Brother Frank said, that you have a gift from God. When you and I grasp that fact, when we come to that understanding that God has empowered us, God has enabled us, God has given us an ability that he expects us to use for him and for his glory. You know, someone has said, and maybe you've heard the saying here, there are those who make the news. 10% of the people in the world make the news. 10% of the people in the world watch the news happening. The other 80% don't know what's going on. What's going on? I don't know about you. When it comes to the church, they seem to be the same same thing. 10% of the people are doing most of the work. 10% are watching them do the work. And the other set just show up to watch the work go on. They don't know. They are oblivious to the fact of what God is doing and what God has called them to do. And I don't know about you, but I want to be in that 10% that is doing. I want to be in that 10% that is involved and exercising my spiritual gift. And we need to understand that God has called us to do a work. It might be different from someone else's. But yet when we come together, we should realize it is all for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. It is told that there was a man who had an interesting way of assessing people, how they would impact the company. He did the hiring. He was the resource manager when people would come in. And so he would sit down with the individuals and he would talk with them. He would get them comfortable, serve them tea and coffee and everything else. And then he would just put forward and say to them, what is your purpose in life? What is your purpose in life? And depending on how they answered that question, he would know what benefit they would be to his company. One day he brought a young man in and he went through that same process. Sat him down, gave him tea and coffee. Just had some casual talking with him and just shared with the young man, and suddenly broke into the conversation. He says, what's your purpose in life? And without any hesitation whatsoever, the young man said, to go to heaven and to take as much people with me as I can. That young man knew what he was doing here on earth. He wanted to make a mark that would never be erased. He wanted to make an eternal impact on people who will one day be eternally grateful. And that's what God wants you and I to do with our gift. We need to understand that God wants us to use whatever gift he has given to us to be used to take as many people to heaven with us as we can. And so, first of all, you must realize that you have a gift from God. Paul says in this passage in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all, he says. Every child of God is given at least one gift. And when we think about the Spirit of God manifesting himself in our lives, he does not only manifest himself through the fruit of the Spirit, he manifests himself in our lives through the spiritual gifts as well. So the gifts that you and I have. And so the Spirit manifests himself in the life of each of us believers by imparting some spiritual gift. Peter says, if every man has received a gift, even so minister the same one to another. And so every Christian must realize that God has given them at least one gift. And the question is, what are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? The Bible, one of the biblical pictures of the church is that it is a body. And every part having a vital role to play. Every part. I don't know about you when you're watching a movie, whether you go to the one here or you're watching a television or after you finish watching a video. But how many of you sit and watch the credits that rolls after the movie is over? Most of us don't. Most of us either turn the TV off or turn the channel or turn the VCR off or rewind. We don't take the time to look at the credits. And it's amazing as you look at the credit, you see just how many people it took to produce that movie, to bring that movie about. There was a person who had to find the location. There were individuals who had to arrange for the caterers. There had to be a costume designer. There had to be a set designer. There had to be someone who put the music together. Everyone had an important part. They were a team. And like the church, you must realize that you have a gift, but you are also a part of a team, a body of people that working together to get this gospel out. You must realize that you have a gift. You have a gift. But sadly today, unlike the body, the physical body, unlike those who work together to put together a movie, we don't understand that. And I wonder if you took the time one Sunday afternoon, or maybe on a Tuesday like this, and just pull down the screen, and you run the credits, and just see a reel of who all participated this week, in some way, in using their gifts for the glory and the kingdom of God. How many names would appear on the screen? Would your name appear on the screen? Would it be seen? And so it's important that you realize that you have a gift and God expects you to use that gift in some form and in some way. And so Paul, as he writes this at this church, he says, I want you to understand that you realize that you have a gift from God. He says, I want you to understand that there are a variety of gifts. A variety of gifts. And again, if you go back to verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. And that's important for us to understand. In Freeport, the Freeport Gospel Chapel, we have four major headings in terms of ministries. And under those four headings, there are 16 ministries that the folks in the local fellowship can be involved in. At least 16. Maybe you have more here. But the saints have an opportunity to look at those ministries and as before God determine which area they think that they are gifted in as the Lord directs them. 16. There are churches I've heard who have up to 100 ministries where people can get involved in. But we do that so that people can understand that You're not limited to trying to be a preacher. That's what God has called you. There are a variety of gifts. And as we read to the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Romans 12, you see the variety that is given there. For one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. And you go on and you see the variety of the gifts. Because God is a God of variety. When you look at you and you look at me, you look at each other, we see how different we are. When we look at creation and we see the colors that is around us, we see the variety. And so when it comes to the gifts, God wants us to understand that there are a variety of gifts. And He wants us to ascertain and to understand what our gifts are. And so, as a result of that, the leaders at Freeport Gospel Chapel have at least 16 areas that the people of God can find somewhere they could participate in on expressing the God-given ability that God has given to them. And you know what? There might be a lot missing. That God might speak to someone's heart and say, this is what I want you to do. And they can come to the leaders and say, I believe God wants me to get this ministry going. And something else is added because of variety. But in the sphere of the gifts that are listed can be used. And so let's not get fixated on those who teach and speak as if they are the only ones. They're variety. And we're going to be talking before we leave here about these various types of gift. At least, we're going to focus on at least 16 of them that are given. We need people who are going to stand up and demonstrate faith, who are going to say, I believe, as Joshua and Caleb did, that God has given us the land, even though there are giants, even though the task seems insurmountable, God will bring us through. God will give us the victory. And we need people like that who will lead the way with their faith. Even though all of us have been given a measure of faith, there are some people in the midst of this congregation who just seem to be able to believe God even when the rest of us can't believe God. And we need that in the body, in the local church. And so that might be their calling. That might be your calling. And so we need to understand really that God have a gift. We have a gift from God. You must understand that there are varieties of gifts. And Paul, as he wrote to the saints at Rome, says, just as each of us has one body with many members, these members do not have the same function. So in Christ, we are many, form one body. This is the NIV, and each member belongs to all the other. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. And so we have different grace, and God gives us according to the grace, an enabling grace to do what He wants us to do. And I think that's wonderful. And so we must realize that you have a gift from God. And as before I leave here, you're going to hear me keep saying that, and it's intentional. You have a gift from God. Understand that there are varieties of gifts. And thirdly, that your gift is important. That your gift is important. He says in verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, because I'm not as important as the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were a hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him. And just that statement alone should encourage our hearts, because we are placed and we are placed in the body and in this local fellowship, because this is where God wanted us. And He has given you the gift that He wants you to have. And so that makes the gift, and that makes you vitally important to the body universally and to this body locally. And so you must remember that the gift that God has given to you is very important. And as we look at our physical bodies, different parts are needed if a body is to exist, right or wrong. It is. All the parts need to exist. He says in verse 19, if there were all one body, oh, if there were only one member, yet but one body. But now are they many members, and if they were all one member, where were the body? And so if we just have the hand, and that was it, where's the rest? How grotesque that would look. You are important. You say, well, Brother Kevin, God has given me the gift of helps. That's not important. That's vitally important. Because you always need people to help. You always need people to help. And there are those people, and I bet if I were to ask you right now, who do you think in this church have the gift of help? You will be able to name one or two or three people around. They're not spectacular. They don't come in the pulpit. They're in the background. But whenever anything needs to be done, they're here. And they show up. They're willing to help and do anything. That's the gift of help. You see, the body need, that is a very important part of the body. So different parts are needed if a body is to exist. And so you can't look at yourself as being inferior if you don't have some spectacular rethinks and some spectacular gift. And we need to remember again that the gifts were not given haphazardly. Verse 11 reminds us of this. But all these worketh that one and the self-seeing spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. And so if you have the gift of help, of a help, the Spirit of God gave that to you purposefully. If you have the gift of faith, he gave that to you purposefully. It was not given haphazardly. If you have the gift to teach the Word of God, the Spirit of God gave that to you purposefully for this local body. And maybe he will open up avenues to go to the greater body, but he gave it to you for a purpose. And so that's why no Christian have the right to sit on their gift and to withhold it from the body, because the Spirit of God gave it to you for a purpose. And he wanted to be used for the glory of God. It is arranged carefully according to the perfect will of God. But now what God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it had pleased him. And it pleased him purposefully, and it was done that he might be pleased, as it had pleased him. And that's fantastic. So you and I must understand and realize that we have a gift from God. We must understand that there are varieties of gifts. We must remember that your gift and my gift is important because it has a purpose, and it pleased God to give us that gift. And we need to always be mindful of this when we understand how important our gift is. And again, I want to sort of illustrate this. You know, every now and then you watch TV and you see these commercials or these upcoming attractions. And you see the latest two blockbusters, Spider-Man. Or the latest one I see on the marquee at your movie theater here, Catwoman. And usually, you have the star, the co-star, and maybe the director and the executive producers. Their names stand out. But really, how many of us pay attention to the name of the costume designer? None. But what a difference that individual makes. Can you imagine watching a Spider-Man movie without a man who's not dressed looking like a spider? If he's walking around just in blue jeans and t-shirt, it really would not capture the movie at all. Or if you didn't have the designer of a Batman suit or whatever it might be. One of my favorite movies, an old movie by John Mayne called The Quiet Man, back in Ireland. And John Mayne is dressed to fit the character. Can you imagine if he was dressed in that day and time in the American type setting? He would be out of character. And so even though you do not see the costume designer is not put forth as important in terms of the marquee and everything else, yet you can understand the importance of that person to that movie. Even the track of the movie has its importance. The music director, every aspect of producing that movie, as I said earlier, that the persons are important. And so it is with your gift. Your gift is very important. It is said that a youth worker decided to visit a youth ministry at one of a large church in America to get some ideas on how their youth ministry might become successful. And so after observing the youth minister and what's happening for a couple of days and sawing the hundreds of young people who came to the meeting and how everything flowed so wonderfully. He said to the youth minister, he said, you know, I'm impressed by you, but I'm more impressed by that young man who stands on the sideline with the clipboard and who seemed to be have everything in place and who know where everyone's supposed to go and what everyone's supposed to be doing. And the youth minister says, yeah, I'm impressed too. That's the one who makes me look good. You see, he wasn't up front. He wasn't, no one hardly notices him. But he was the person behind the scene that kept everything going. He was the administrator. He was the organizer. And so he was very important. And you might be behind the scene. No one might see you on the game. But God sees. And God knows. And God will acknowledge. I close with this final illustration. It is said that back in the Middle Ages, a man was observing a building of a cathedral. And as one worker walked by with a cart carrying some mortar, the man asked him, what are you doing? And the worker replied, not much, just carrying some mortar. Another came by carrying some stones. And the question was asked again, what are you doing? He said, just carrying some stones. Then a third worker passed by, carrying some building material. And the man asked again, what are you doing? The worker replied, I am building a cathedral. I am building a cathedral. How do you think this last man's understanding of his task affected his attitude in life? The quality of his work. He understood he was using his tasks to build a cathedral. Do we understand that the gift that God has given to us, or the gifts that we, God expects us to use us to build his kingdom? To edify the body. And when we grasp that, then we begin to understand how important we are to the program of God and how important the gifts we have to the extension of the kingdom of God. Do you understand what you're building? Do we understand what we are involved, the project that we are involved in? Of touching lives, changing individuals, allowing Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be seen as we function as he would have us to function in the body. And as each of us do that, as each of us do our part, and as each of us function in the task and with the gift that God has given us, the world would see it. Would see it. I will make a difference in the lives of people. And we need to understand our calling. And so, whatever your gift that may be, God's given you the gift of teaching, do it with the mindset that I'm building the kingdom of God. God is using me to build and extend his kingdom. If you were just a help setting up and doing whatever you can, remember, you're doing it to extend and to build up the kingdom of God. If you preach the word of God, do it with all might and all diligence, knowing that you are doing it to build up and to extend the kingdom of God. Of God. And if that don't motivate you, and that don't motivate me, then nothing else will. Nothing else. In Jesus' name, may we pray. Father, we do thank you for this time together. And Father, we know that your word will not return unto you void. And Father, we thank you that you help our infirmities. And we thank you for the measure of the ability that you've given to us to be able to share your word. Take these thoughts. Be glorified by them and through them. And minister to the heart of your people even this evening. That, Lord, that we would understand our calling. That we will, O Lord, desire to fulfill the purpose for which you created us and saved us. And Lord, that we would use the natural gifts and the spiritual gifts that you've given to us for the building up and the extension of your kingdom. Father, we need your help. We know, Lord, that it's not by might nor by power, but it's by your Holy Spirit. And so, Father, we just ask that you would help us to be obedient and submit to you, that you might do in us, so that you can do through us what you created us for. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. May we sing the chorus. I don't think we need the music. Most of us know it. Number 60 on page 9, Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. I believe that if we are walking in the fullness of the Spirit, indeed we will fulfill God's purpose for our lives. Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the Living God, fresh on me. Make me, melt me, mold me, fill me. Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me.